This is the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Yes, that's Somewhere Over the Rainbow playing on an organ. The organist is Cameron Carpenter. The musician has been described as a smasher of cultural and classical music taboos, and he's on tour this week throughout the state. The Juilliard School graduate's latest album is called If You Could Read My Mind, and he's performing at 8 o'clock tonight at the Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield, and at 7:30 on Sunday at Morrison Theater in Quincy, Illinois. But he is here with us right now. Cameron, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you didn't grow up going to church, which I think is where most people probably encounter an organ. How did you become an organist?
Well, I suppose you'd say I was attracted to the engineering aspect of the instrument. It was a visual entity for me before anything else. I saw the organ in a Childcraft encyclopedia, and the sort of infrastructure that it presented just seemed to captivate me in some way.
The infrastructure, you mean just because there were so many parts?
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, the multipartite nature of the organ is one of the things that makes it what it is. In other words, unlike other instruments, which are a complete whole in and of themselves, if you think of the oboe or the trumpet or the flute or, in fact, the human voice, those are all monophonic instruments. So they play one note at a time and not more than one note at a time under normal conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the organ is really a compendium, you could say, of discrete parts.
Well, that said, then, when was the first time you played an organ?
I first played the organ when I was 4.
And where did you encounter it?
Well, it was in Meadville, Pennsylvania, near where I grew up. That was probably my first time in church, and it was by dint of having asked to be shown the thing.
Okay. And now, let's fast forward to today, where you travel around the not just the country, but across the globe with your organ, which has been described as your international touring organ. Since this is radio, I wonder if you can describe for us what it looks like, first of all.
It's a paradox in a way, because it's a traditional organ in musical terms. In technical terms, it's a very revolutionary instrument, or at least a radical one. It's an instrument that is driven by supercomputers rather than air pressure, but it observes the same musical values that a traditional pipe organ does, and it allows you, or in this case me, to do things that would be impossible with a traditional pipe organ.
Like what?
The organ is always, well, principally to be able to travel without having any musical sacrifice. Pipe organs are all site-specific instruments, which means that they are physically and therefore musically unique. They are not, an instrument can't really be replicated. You don't have anywhere in the world, in strict terms, you don't have identical pipe organs anywhere. So for that reason, while that's one of the joys of the pipe organ itself, it's also an enormously frustrating thing because it makes it impossible for a traveling musician, which every musician wants to or aspires to be, basically, in the 21st century, to have an ongoing relationship with one instrument. That's impossible. So that means, therefore, that you can't develop the level of, or one doesn't, I don't at least, develop the same level of intimacy with an audience with a pipe organ that you would with any other, you know, in the position of any other instrumentalist. And because of that, the only really acceptable solution is a technological one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Cameron Carpenter. We're actually talking to him on his phone. He's performing in Lebanon right now, but he's going to be in Springfield tonight. And you've said, as an artist, you've said, I want to ask you about this live experience with performances. How much of your work do you think should only be experienced, or is perhaps best experienced live versus hearing a recording?
Well, I don't really have a personal judgment on that, because part of being a musician is turning yourself over to the will of the consumer. I believe that the organ, more than any other instrument, for reasons we're already sort of discussing, is a live experience. It is an instrument that's best experienced live because the totality of its output exceeds that of other musical instruments. It's the only instrument that for practical purposes acoustically covers the entire range of human hearing. So based on that alone, and there are other issues too, of course, my preference is sort of that people hear the instrument and that they hear this organ rather than a pipe organ or another organ, because I've designed this organ. And to me, it's the greatest organ in the world. But of course, again, part of being a musician and part of the reality of the 21st century as being a classical musician, somewhat of a hopeless prospect as that might seem to be, is that you throw yourself on the mercies of how people choose to receive your work. And that means there are probably people who would only ever hear me on live, for which I'm also grateful. I mean, that's also acceptable and appropriate.
Mm-hmm. You know, Cameron, as you're saying, the idea, the notion of being a classical musician, and I guess we'll go with being a classical musician who is a working musician these days. I'm curious your thoughts about that and the way that you perform your art. And I know that you say on your website, it says you're having a ball smashing stereotypes of organists and organ music. What do you mean by that?
Well, it is great fun to be able to undertake a practice that the world, to the degree that it's aware of it, has fairly fixed ideas about, and examine it afresh. I think in the case of the organist, it doesn't hurt to be an atheist to do that. And my atheism, in the sense that it gives me a distrust of orthodoxy wherever it's encountered, not just in religion, is really quite useful, because if there's one area of classical music that's hidebound by orthodoxy, it's the organ. And so, you know, it almost requires a kind of different viewpoint to make anything that's even slightly commercially viable out of the organ. It requires, you know, an opposing view. Well, critical thinking requires opposing viewpoints, for that matter. So it's natural to me to fulfill that role, and I do find it intellectually extremely enjoyable, partly because, as I said, I view the organ as, in some ways, a musical symbol for the universe itself, both in its complexity and its chaos and its order, and in its incorporation of smaller and smaller parts into a whole. And for that reason, I find that a lot of the music, and therefore the ideas that are associated with the organ, particularly the music of Bach, but also issues of image, of application, and lots of other things, personality, which are sort of assumed or perhaps maybe somewhat stereotyped in the public mind, are very rich, very fertile areas for exploration. And that's by definition fun. I mean, it's learning is fun.
Well, Cameron, yeah.
You know, different things.
Well, you mentioned Bach.
It's refreshing.
Right. You mentioned Bach. And I wanted to, as you're saying all of this about orthodoxy, I think it's a great segue to hear some of your work, because a lot of it involves adaptation. And I wanted to play some music for people that is familiar. That's Yo-Yo Ma playing Bach's Cello Suite Number 1. And I wanted to play that so no one's thinking when I play your work, what is that music? It sounds familiar. Okay, now let's listen to your adaptation. Your music is called Cello Suite Elaboration. Thank you. That's Cello Suite Elaboration from organist Cameron Carpenter's latest album, which is entitled If You Could Read My Mind. Cameron, when you take these classical pieces, as you said, a lot of your work is about going against orthodoxy, and I'm thinking about these pieces that are sometimes written for entire orchestras. How do you transform that into something that can be played on an organ?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's something that could be played on an organ. It's something that in many
on cases your organ.
On this organ.
Okay.
And that's a double-edged sword, because what you end up with are adaptations of works, which are technically known as transcriptions. Transcription being basically a process that's not unlike what we see in all the rest of human communications, where you take a certain amount of information, encode it into a medium, and send it down a line, and then reconstitute it at the other end. It's a signal. It's a sort of signal, you know, broadcast and reception question. And the thing that makes it very interesting is, in the case of, say, a Wagner transcription of an overture such as I'll play tonight, or anything, as long as it's not an abject arrangement, which the piece you just played is. It's not marked by literality, but that's why it's called elaboration. There's actually new material that's added to that. But at any rate, in the case of a transcription, it's the matter of taking the emotional whole as well as the technical whole. In other words, the sort of cumulative result of 102 musicians, say, playing a Tchaikovsky scherzo, is what you're trying to syncretize or reduce into a format that can be played on an extremely abundantly equipped instrument, and a very complex one, but nevertheless one that's played by two hands and two feet. So you have some reduction of, you know, the redundancy where it occurs that you would have in the orchestra. At the same time, you get a kind of enhanced, if somewhat simplified, view of the piece by dint of the fact that instead of being played by, say, 102 musicians under the direction of one, it's entirely originating from one personality. I'm sure there are people who feel that that's also one of its weaknesses. I often found that that was one of the interesting things about that musical exercise.
That's really interesting. Cameron, one last question for you. What can people expect to experience if it and when they come to your shows?
Basically, I enjoy using music to try to show people a different side of experience, because for me, the standard of whether it's classical or whether it's even organ music is basically irrelevant. The function of classical music, if you understand it as something that has to be understood and for which there are codified rules, then of course, I mean, it's very hard to understand. If, though, you understand it and see it, as I feel it fairly obviously is, as something which is just an encoding of human experience and which gives the listener the ability to walk in the shoes of someone else.
Okay.
Be it the composer or the performer, then it's perhaps a little easier to understand.
Well, that's Cameron Carpenter. He's an organist. He's on tour this week. Tonight he's performing in Springfield. On Sunday he'll be in Quincy. Cameron, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
That does it for us today. On Monday, we'll be talking about how film can help break down stereotypes and stigmas around mental health. And hey, it's opening day for the Cubs. We're also going to be talking baseball. To contact us, you can always visit 21stshow.org for all of our information. Until next time, have a great weekend. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Thanks for listening to The 21st.